Okay, let's get right to it. There's an awful lot going on here, there, and everywhere. And if you're living in Italy, probably have some people listening in Italy right now. That whole country, the whole country has been put into lockdown. You don't get outside, you don't leave your house or go anywhere unless it's absolutely mandatory and essential. So, and you don't think that can happen here? Well, you might want to think about that again. I'm not saying the whole country, but certainly parts of it. They're talking about Seattle, and it's a bad situation. Dr. Henry Nyman has been here. We've been doing these programs for you, I think, now since, it's going on 2 months now, every night, Monday through Friday, and there's a lot happening. Henry, welcome back.
Well, it's good to be back, and there is a lot going on, and your comment about what's happening in Italy coming here, actually, it has come here, because when all the Americans that went to Italy and got the viruses in Italy and brought it back here, we were screening people coming out of China. So the U.S.
Isn't
is loaded
weird?
With yeah, the U.S. is loaded with the viruses in Italy, and the virus in Italy is slightly different. It's got one particular marker. It's in Italy. It's in Iran. It's that same version. And that same version.
This is the more virulent version, and their death rate doubled overnight in Italy. Doubled. They added another 100 overnight from the 100 the day before. So it's a bad strain.
It went up 25% like overnight, and that's when they put
lockdown.
Quarantine. Yeah, the lockdown. I mean, right now, the latest numbers I'm seeing is they've got 9,172 cases. They've got 463 deaths, and they've got 733 serious, and they got 700 discharges. So they've got as many serious as they got discharges, and then they got another 463 deaths piled on top of that. And unfortunately, that strain in Italy is all over Europe now, and that's kind of I kind of said it was a tipping point. I think it was about 2 weeks ago, and that was when both Italy and Iran first started reporting their cases. And actually, it wasn't Italy. It was really the rest of Europe. The rest of Europe finally figured out that maybe they should be testing people that had visited Italy, and then they started finding, positives all over the place. And the best example that I cited a few times was Spain. At the time, Spain only had two confirmed cases, and they weren't even in the mainland. They were on two islands that they owned. One was Canary Islands, and the other was in Majorca. Those were the only two positives they had.
Right.
And I'm looking right now. Spain's got 1,231 cases now. They got 30 deaths, and so they of course had zero deaths before. So, and that was due in part to them looking at people that had come from Italy, and they started getting a lot of positives, and they started doing some tracings, and they started bumping into cases that weren't from Italy. They were basically community transmission cases, so they knew it was transmitting in Spain, and then they started testing some more. And that's essentially what's going to happen here. I mean, people kind of look at these numbers and they say, well, yeah, U.S. has got some cases, and they got this group out in Seattle, and that's not good. And they got Northern California, and that's not good. And they got New York, and that's not good. But you know what those three areas have in common? They test.
Yesterday was 1,543 tests. That's it. That was on the CDC site of yesterday.
And these other places, well, it isn't here. I really don't see much going on.
Well, don't test, don't
looks
tell.
Looks like we're good. That's right. No testing. And I think it was today, LabCorp and Quest announced that they're open for business. So they have developed the test. They're ready to do testing. So any physician in the country can mail it in. All they got to do is these guys come and pick up samples from their offices every day anyway, and all they got to do is put one in that's from a patient they suspect has COVID and write down test for COVID, and they'll get the results in a couple of days. And so there'll be a dramatic change in testing. It's dramatic in a few areas, which has started to test. And when everybody has this test, I had said last week that New York, that they were going to do 1,000 tests a day. Well, now they're going to do 10,000 tests a day. And when they start, when these areas start jumping up the test, and anybody that can come in and say, well, I've had this cough, and, didn't see anybody from China, and I, haven't been out of the country, but, and they'll say, well, we should probably check it out. And all they need is a physician to order the test, and it's going to be covered by most insurance, so it's not like Medicare is going to cover it. So, if they're over 65, just go ahead and say, you'll get your results in a couple of days. And this country's going to be overrun with virus. I mean, it's already overrun with virus, but right now we're still
officially
flying blind.
Overrun. Yeah.
Right. We're still flying blind in many areas.
And Henry, excuse me, I am so disgusted. I am beyond words outraged by the behavior of the executive branch of this government. All right? The commander in chief, the man we're supposed to look up to lead us, has been acting like a petulant child.
Yeah. The CDC said, well, we don't think seniors should fly. And Trump said, pull that out. We don't want that.
Did you hear that, everyone? Hold on.
Yeah, good.
Did you all hear what Dr. Nyman said? The CDC said it's probably wise for seniors not to fly or mix socially. Trump said, well, throw that out. No, and he said it's perfectly fine for seniors to fly. He didn't want to hurt the airlines. It's all about Trump. It's all about re-election. It's all about the economy. But yet, yesterday, he went to play golf when the Dow Jones futures were in a nosedive. The guy is, I don't know what he is, but he makes me sick. And that's just me speaking for me, not Henry. Go ahead, Henry. Sorry.
Well, the CDC tried to make up for it a little bit this afternoon. I sent you a link to the audio. The transcript's not quite out yet. It's a little bit long. Wait for the transcript. Usually it's out by now. But the audio's out.
I haven't been able to listen to it.
They basically come out and say, this is a virus, and a lot of people, they get it, 80% of the people get this virus. It'll be a relatively mild disease. They won't develop pneumonia. They probably don't even need hospitalization. They should probably self-quarantine at home, but it's not like they're in a life-threatening condition and need, attention. And, 20% of the people will need attention and will need to go to the hospital and can develop a serious illness and can even die. And the ones that are most at risk for doing that is seniors, and those over 80 are the most highest risk. Then comes over 70, then comes over 60, but they're all at risk, especially if they have underlying conditions like high blood pressure or diabetes.
Right,
and,
which is most of them, unfortunately.
They should avoid, confined or crowded spaces. They kind of described an airline without saying it. and they were given a warning that, anybody listening, the seniors better pay attention here. Their life is in danger. And if they don't pay attention, they're going to get themselves into big trouble, and they're going to get in a situation that nobody's going to be able to help them. And they said that this afternoon. So listen to the audio. I'll get this transcript to you as soon as it's ready. And so they're trying to get the word out, and in spite of the censorship. You can call it what you want. But
that's exactly what it is. It's censorship from the Donald Trump presidency. No question about it.
Right.
None.
Right. The science, and, the science says don't fly, and he said, "Oh, I think it's fine." He's a stable genius.
He's a real, real piece of work, that guy, and he's going to have blood on his hands real quick.
Yeah. And so things are going to go downhill pretty dramatically, or at least they'll look a lot worse, because once they start testing, they'll realize that, in fact, they are all over the place.
Well, what Henry just said, let me underscore it. New York, Northern California, and Seattle area, Greater Seattle. Why do those three have so many cases? The answer is they're testing. Okay? You got it. You got it. You guys get it. I know.
So in any event, they're going to test more, and other places are going to start. I mean, they just started here in Pennsylvania, just to give you an idea. They started, I think, Friday or so. And right now it's in eastern Pennsylvania, but there were a couple up by Scranton, and then they're all over the place in, they're not quite all over the place. They're in Delco and Montgomery counties, which are suburban Philadelphia. And they got one in Delco, and they've got, I think, five now in Monterey County, including the latest one is a physician. He's a cardiologist. He works at Philadelphia Children's Hospital and our Penn Children's Hospital.
And he got it.
And he's in critical condition. He's in critical condition. Now, it wasn't from treating patients. It was, they just said, an out-of-the-country trip. So my guess is he either went to Italy or possibly Egypt. I mean, it turns out that now that countries are starting to test, that Egypt seems to be overrun with virus. And people are taking riverboat cruises on the Nile, and they're coming back. Everybody's infected, and they basically
Egypt had its first case six weeks ago, and it was one case. So people said, there's no problem. It was running wild. They probably weren't testing there either. It was running wild all over the place. It's been running wild here for a couple months.
Egypt just had, they bumped it up to three about 4 or 5 days ago. They were still at three. So people would look at that and say, well, I don't know. We don't want to go to Asia, and Europe looking kind of iffy, and the Middle East isn't looking very good. But Egypt's probably not a bad place to go for a vacation. And it turns out their crews that are manning these cruises are infected, and they're infecting the passengers, and the passengers are coming back. And they got something like 20 some odd cases, might be higher now, in Texas. And most of those came from cruises in Egypt. And there were three in Iowa, and they were all from the cruises, and then they jumped up to eight today, and I don't know where the other five are from yet, but they went from zero to eight in 2 days. And they also seeded the cases in Maryland, and actually, one of them went to a funeral that had 100 people, and now they're concerned that they're all going to be infected. And there's another Montgomery County, which is which is where Bethesda is, and it's right next to Washington, D.C., and then a pastor in Washington, D.C. got infected, and his congregation had something like 500 people attended services this weekend, and they're all exposed. And then you got now you got APAC and CPAC, and APAC and CPAC is getting real close to the executive. Actually, they're getting real close to both of those meetings. And both of
Trump has been exposed by at least two different congressmen, right, as you know. So for those of you listening, it's a done deal. He's been exposed.
Right, and they were at CPAC, and CPAC right now is more in the theoretical category. That there was definitely one person in particular who was positive, and he was at CPAC, and several high-ranking senators or congressmen were there and definitely interacted with them. I mean, people don't know who they're interacting with, so they ended up going through all the pictures that have been taken with this guy and then notifying the congressman, saying, well, you were standing right next to him. You know, we got this picture of you, and so you definitely had contact with him, and he is infected. So they have people that they know had interactions with this person. They don't yet have a person that was definitely infected at CPAC, to my knowledge. On the other hand, APAC is a very different story.
Yes.
And APAC, they started out with, over the weekend, somebody flew into Los Angeles, and they were tested, and they were positive, and they were coming from Washington, D.C., because they had attended the APAC meeting. And then today, somebody flew into Cleveland, and they came from Washington, and they came from the APAC meeting. And then somebody flew into Toronto, and they didn't say APAC, but this was just the media, the press release. But the press release said it's coming from Washington, D.C., and he was coming on March 3rd, which is the day APAC ended. And he almost certainly came from APAC also. So there's three different individuals in the U.S. or Canada that attended that APAC meeting, and they are definitely confirmed. And then there were others that were in New York that went to that meeting that were definitely confirmed. And APAC, I don't know how many people were there, but I think it was maybe 18,000 or something.
18,000 plus.
Yeah, some big number.
Yeah.
And Pence spoke there. A lot of Republicans spoke at that meeting also. And, they basically went to both of them. CPAC, I think, was actually technically in Maryland. It was across, it was just outside of Washington, D.C., and APAC was in Washington, D.C. And they both had, definitely had infected people that attended, but APAC has definitely transmitted at that meeting to at least three individuals. I think everybody that flew back to Israel is in quarantine right now. I'm not sure if they got positives there yet or not, but that's probably next to be examples of people that went to APAC. So they're kind of highlighting what's happening with these mass gatherings. If you go into these gatherings, they got thousands of people. You almost invariably are going to have somebody disinfected at that meeting. And
of course.
If it's a meet and greet and the idea is you stand next to them and you get your picture taken, shaking hands, that, there's a lot of, you're not maintaining your 5 feet. You're
going to have not at all.
Your not space in crowded areas. And to tell you the truth, I mean, they're talking about, well, maybe some of these mass gatherings aren't that good of an idea. And I don't know, I need to check this out, but I believe there was, might have been a soccer game in Seattle with 30,000 people this weekend.
There was.
And so, I mean, that's a lot of people in a city that's got a lot of virus, and it's not a good combination. And, I mean, the idea of avoiding these mass gatherings is not that if you do that, you're going to stop the virus. You're not going to stop the virus. This virus transmits more easily than flu. It's all over the place. Some places you know about it because you tested. Other places you don't have a clue because you haven't tested yet or you just started to test. And mass gatherings are going to make it create peaks, very high peaks of cases. So they're going to be red hot. They're going to go up very quickly. And when they go up very quickly, they will overrun the healthcare system so that you'll have people that are sick that can't get a hospital bed because there's too many that got sick at the same time. So the whole idea to avoid these mass gatherings is to flatten the curve out. So the curve is you know, a lot of people are going to get infected either way, but they're all not going to be infected on the same day and need to go to the hospital.
That's
in
right.
The same week.
That's exactly right.
And,
of course.
And it's going to spread it out so that you're not going to run out of healthcare workers or run out of beds or both. And I just got a call this evening from an emergency room physician in Portland.
And Oregon?
In Oregon, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they got a directive that said that the virus isn't airborne, and therefore you don't need an N95 mask. You can just use a regular mask. You can just use a regular surgical mask.
Surgical mask. I can't believe
this.
Don't worry about
goggles. Not a problem. And
never mind China. And, never mind what we've seen over there for months. Never mind any of that.
He knows physicians that have seen it in Seattle. You don't have to go to China. They've seen it in Seattle where they have these sudden deaths. And they go and they have the virus that goes straight to the heart. And people are dying from that. And you don't have to go to China to see it. You can see it in Seattle. And,
they're gonna kill off a lot of, if they follow through with that, a lot of our healthcare workers, our first response line is going to be wiped out one way or the other. Not necessarily dead, but they're going to be sick. They're going to be off the job. We won't have any physicians if they do that. Look, there are also government calls for people, CDC, I believe, called for people not to buy masks because we need them for the healthcare workers, professional healthcare workers. You don't need them. You don't need them. Don't worry about them. This is crazy.
Well,
and there's only 1% of the number of masks needed now in existence here. Trump 2 months ago could have ordered full-scale production of masks. He didn't do anything. Nothing.
Right. And I think that's why they're telling them they don't need them, because they don't have them.
Of course. Of course.
And so they're putting out.
I can't believe this.
I haven't seen it. I heard this. You know, he called me tonight and wanted to know,
what kind of data they've got for
airborne to use to say that this is crazy. You know,
they actually told him that it wasn't airborne, Henry. Did I hear you right? Repeating what he said,
yep.
That they said it's not an airborne.
It's droplets. Yep.
Oh my God.
I don't know. That rumor has it, but he is a physician, and that's what he called me about. So I don't know why he called me if that wasn't true. And so,
no, he wouldn't.
That's what I heard tonight, and
This should really enrage the medical professionals who have to deal with this. No N95 masks. I don't believe it. Yeah. I just don't believe it.
You're gonna start seeing all these healthcare workers that got infected. I mean, they got infected in California because they didn't know the patient was infected with the virus. And
Henry, they're gonna go down. We're not gonna have any healthcare workers.
And they were definitely infected because they released the sequences over the weekend. There were three healthcare workers. They put out the sequence and it matched the patient. And they put the patient's sequence out also. And it says right on the characterization sheet, healthcare worker, Sonoma County, you know, that's definitely who was infected. And that definitely was the SARS-CoV-2 sequence.
How did you feel when you heard him say that, Henry? Seriously? How did you feel? What did that make you think?
I couldn't believe it. I mean, I heard that and I thought, this is crazy. People think it's bad now and it's just going to get worse. They're not going to have healthcare workers. They're not going to have beds. And that's where you end up getting the recombination. It's when you have healthcare workers and they're dealing with patients that have come into the hospital because they've got a high viral load and they see more than one and they go and they get infected with two or three different viruses. And then they come out with these recombinants, and all of a sudden you got something like the Metropole Hotel, where you got a virus that pops out that's more virulent and is off and running. I mean, it already can transmit very easily, and the virulence is very bad if you're older or have underlying conditions.
Well, we have a lot of listeners, and perhaps that doctor is listening right now. I don't know what to tell a physician in that situation, except find the masks wherever you can. Protect yourself. If your government is not going to protect you, you're the one who has to do it. This is really outrageous. I mean, I can't believe it. I cannot believe the lack of leadership. The actual betrayal of this country and its people by the president and the White House, and I'm speaking not for Henry, I'm speaking for me. I cannot believe what I'm seeing. The negligence is off the charts. I've never seen anything like it.
And he thinks he can talk the virus away. Because if he works on the numbers and makes it look good, that everything's fine. That's why he didn't want to unload the ship. He said, oh, that's going to screw up the numbers.
He told those people, go die. Just stay on the ship. Yeah. Go die. Yeah. I don't want the numbers. That's what he said
He said the same thing to the healthcare workers that got infected with Ebola. That, you know, stay in Africa. You know, you went there, you're stuck. Yeah, we don't want to bring you here to get treated. Just stay in Africa. And he said that a while ago.
You know what else the dirtbag really said? And those are my words. He said on March 7th, he's going to keep holding rallies despite the CPAC attendees' coronavirus case. He's going to keep holding rallies. And if all of his cult members continue to show up at those rallies, there are going to be a lot fewer cult members who are up and around in very short order.
Yeah, the rallies aren't a good idea, and it is going to get worse. I mean, all of this is basically, you know, getting to a tipping point where we have a small amount of virus, people get infected with a lower viral load, they don't get that sick, and then you go and you start getting the virus moving around, and you get some people that, you know, for whatever reason have a higher viral load, either they're immunocompromised or they're older or they've got an underlying condition, and then they end up showing up at the hospital, or in some cases, you know, they might show up at the basketball game or football game, or, you know, not much football now, but in the fall it will be. But yeah, at a soccer game. And, you know, they're there and they're starting to cough, and, you know, you got people sitting nearby, and you got people, vendors walking around trying to sell stuff, and they go out to buy stuff during intermission and stand in line, you're right next to them, and start talking away. It's just a disaster in the making that these conditions are ripe for the virus to just start infecting people and move it around. And and that's what's showing up with this. I mean the other thing CDC said that everybody kind of heard loud and clear was stay away from cruise ocean liners, cruising. And this Grand Princess, I'm not sure how many positives it's going to have, but it's going to have a lot. And I already have an idea how many people were infected on the first leg of that Grand Princess cruise. I was kind of tallying these over the weekend. I think
What'd
I
you
got
get?
It was 20-something that have already been confirmed. And and some of them, they're kind of not giving out as much information on, you know, where the person came from. They're just kind of say, well, right, it wasn't community transmission. And but it looks, you know, there'll be more because it's just coming. I mean, that cruise ended like on the 21st or so. And, you know, so there's a little bit of an incubation time. And then they got symptoms. And I can't figure out whether they should really go to the doctor or they went to the doctor. The doctor said, well, you know, I don't know what you got, but we don't really have the test yet. So there's not much we can do about it. Just, you know, if it gets worse, come back and see me or something. But now that the kits are out, I think, you know, in the next week or two, probably, they're not fully deployed yet. And I just heard the announcement today. So I think today might have been the announcement for Quest and LabCorp.
Henry, you saw the story wherein, I forget who made the appeal, that citizens don't buy masks. We need the healthcare workers to have them. You're fine. You really don't need them. You saw that story. I ran it.
Yeah.
And when
yeah.
I saw that, I knew that there were not going to be enough masks for the healthcare
right.
workers, period, let alone the great majority of the public. It's almost as if, and I'm speaking for me, it almost leaves me with the feeling that there had to be some kind of intelligent intent to let this virus run loose in this society of ours. Or the only alternative is grotesque, malignant neglect and incompetence. You choose.
Yeah.
In either case, we got a big problem. And I feel absolutely horrible that our healthcare workers are not getting the kind of material and PPE protection they need. I am even more disgusted that this alleged president will not stand up and do the right thing. Spineless, worthless, useless. And you people can go to his rallies and cheer your brains out. Have fun. Meanwhile, the doctors and nurses and healthcare professionals in your town may have to go without masks because he didn't order the production of masks 2 months ago when he knew damn well what was going on in China. He gets intelligence briefings every day. He probably knew in the end of December. Well, that's true.
They have to have pictures. They have pictures, maybe, but otherwise.
Yes.
But I mean, I think part of the problem was it got so big in China, they probably, you know, gobbled up everything that was available. And
the Chinese used all the masks. They stopped shipping them over
right.
here. I understand
right.
that. But we right. have the right. ability in this first world country over a period of 2 months to produce billions
ahead,
of masks.
If you plan ahead. I mean, you can't get Purell anywhere. I mean, it's although in New York you can. New York's going to manufacture their own. They're going to manufacture and give it away to schools and hospitals and make sure that it's available. So they're I think they're making.
See, isn't that funny? This man ran on the campaign platform. One of his biggest planks was to bring manufacturing back to the U.S. And look what's happening. Henry just said that New York is going to have to make its own sanitizing lotions for schools and so forth. I just can't. How long are you going to let this guy get away with this crap? And I'm not talking about Democrat, Republican. I'm talking about the man. This is really grim.
I said he was the last person you want in charge of the pandemic. And he wants to be in charge. I mean, that's the amazing thing. He thinks he's got it under control, or at least he's got enough control so that he can keep the stock market from going down.
He went to play golf yesterday. That's right.
Yeah, I know.
That's the control he has. Controlling his golf clubs and watching the Dow dive.
Point drop in history.
It's going to go down another 2,000 tomorrow, maybe more. This thing is going to crash. Case fatality rate in Italy, somebody just emailed me, 39% as of right now. I don't know if that's true, but it's close.
Well, I think they're just looking at the discharges. There's 463 deaths, and there's 724 discharges.
There it is.
That's what it is. And unfortunately, that was what was coming into the U.S. while we were trying to figure out, how come it's slowing down from China? Yeah. And they're looking on the West Coast and ignoring the East Coast. And they weren't testing on the East Coast. So they didn't really know what was coming in. And New York,
they're not even looking at people coming through the airport.
And now they're just finding out. No, Italy wasn't on the list. Iran was. Well, Iran doesn't get that many in the United States anyway. But, it was mostly Italy. And people went there to go for a ski vacation or students went there for a field trip to see Europe or see Italy. They just came back with virus and it's all over the place. And people didn't know. Now they suspect because they know they went to northern Italy and they sent hundreds of thousands of students and some, have exchange programs and they, spend a semester or a year over and wherever, including Europe. And they've got all these students over there that go to school here and they're bringing them back and putting them in quarantine, to make sure that they're not bringing virus back. But, they've already had some that came back that didn't go into quarantine. I mean, when it was passing around in Europe, it was passing around the U.S. I remember there were cases in Brazil and Algeria and zero in the U.S. In Canada, and I think it was even in Mexico. So it was in Canada and Mexico, but it wasn't in the U.S. because the U.S. wasn't testing. So it was in U.S. It just wasn't recorded. So that's kind of what the situation is. The virus is widespread. These river cruises in Egypt apparently sent a lot of tourists back to the U.S. and Canada. And they're all over the place. I mean, you don't really think of that many imports going into Texas, but I think they've got 20-something in Texas now. It might even be more than that by now. And a good chunk of them came from river cruises on the Nile. And they had them up in Canada, and they've had them in several states in the U.S. now. And it's the same thing with the Grand Princess and the Diamond Princess. Actually, with the Diamond Princess, I think the U.S. got lucky on the virus because the CDC released 18 sequences over the weekend. And these were from U.S. passengers. And they really had kind of the real basic sequence. I mean, it's the Wuhan original sequence without a whole lot of changes. Some actually didn't have any changes. They were kind of the consensus, the original sequence. Whereas three sequences were released for Japanese passengers, and they all had this one change that's also in Italy. So, and if you recall, the first three deaths at least were Japanese. And so I think that there was some segregation of the virus. So there wasn't just one sequence on that ship. That there were multiple introductions onto the Diamond Princess. And the Americans had one introduction, and the Japanese had a different introduction. And the Japanese had the more lethal version of it. And so, you know, the final numbers are probably going to have more, because half of the passengers were Japanese. So I think that they'll have, you know, their full share of the fatalities, which is up to seven now. And the U.S. might get away without any, because they had this kind of earlier version. I mean, under the right circumstances, it would still cause deaths, but it seems that the this one particular change that's in Italy also is
that's a bad change. And that's what's come into the eastern U.S. Helps come in several parts of the U.S., obviously.
I've got another. And I haven't seen a sequence yet, but my guess is Egypt has got the same change because it's probably matching Iran. Iran has the same thing.
I would be not surprised at all. 21% increase in Washington, 150 patient increase overnight, total of 704, 21% increase. Case fatality rate in the U.S. What do you have? 15 recovered, 27 dead, 68% case fatality rate.
Yeah, it's it's not that great on the discharges. No, I think it's kind of it'll go down in the U.S. because I think that the ones in Seattle, it hit that nursing home. So the nursing home, with the initial numbers is going to keep it high. The CFR is going to be high, but it's still going to be high. And as it turns out, they changed the definition. So, I mean, the definition for SARS included pneumonia. You had to have pneumonia to be a case. So that basically, when they calculated the case fatality rate with SARS, they were only looking at hospitalized patients. They weren't looking at the ones that were contacts, and they tested them, they're PCR positive, and they got a cough, and they're quarantined in their house. They're not in the hospital. Those patients did not count when they did a case fatality rate for SARS. The number one criteria to be a case was you had to have either an X-ray or a CT scan showing that you had pneumonia. So you needed pneumonia to be considered a SARS case. And the S in SARS stands for severe. It's a severe case. It's not somebody that's home quarantined because they've got a cough. I mean, the people
intensive care,
with a cough have a zero case fatality rate. This is only hospitalized cases. And it was higher than SARS. SARS was 10%. These are at least 15%. If you just look at the pneumonia cases, you throw out all the ones. Because you read these, and they go, they're giving the reports now. So now they're starting to test, and they're giving you kind of the basic type of information. And they're usually saying, whether it was a community case or whether it was a contact or whether it was a travel-related case. Mm-hmm. And you'll have that type of information, and you'll get a little bit more information on the patient, and you'll have a better idea on how severe it is. I mean, a lot of these cases, if you read them, they say they are quarantined at home. So the ones that are quarantined at home don't have pneumonia. Yeah, they're at home because they've got a cough. They got tested either, you know, in many cases because they're a contact, or, you know, because they've got a cough and they came from, you know, Italy or whatever. They came from a country that has a high level. So they get tested and they're positive, but they're really not that sick. And so if you start looking at it a little bit more critically, you'll see, and they've actually said it. I mean, that's what they said in the conference call. They said that 80% of these cases are mild. So it's really the 20% that have pneumonia and go to the hospital, and that's where you get the deaths. And if you take that 20% and you look at what the case fatality rate for those that are hospitalized with pneumonia, and then you find out that it's in double digits. It's not 2% or 3%, or as Trump would say, less than 1% because he's got a hunch. You know, but he's using that broader definition anyway, even without his hunch. I mean, the reality is that if you get infected with the virus, overall, it's going to be a lower percentage because most of the ones that are infected with the virus are not going to develop pneumonia, at least on this wave. Now, the thing
wait,
you have
wait
to
till
keep
the second
mind,
wave.
Right. Yeah. If you look at swine flu, if you look at the 1918 pandemic, right. In the spring, it was a milder version. And then it came back in the fall. And when it came back in the fall, that's when you got all of the deaths. Because and there's some evidence for this antibody-enhanced type of activity where you get antibody against one version of the virus, and the virus changes enough so the antibody itself isn't as effective against the new strain, but it manages to actually enhance the ability of the virus to get into the cells. So that by having a reaction against one version of the virus, and then in the fall get hit with another version, so the antibody really doesn't work that well at neutralizing the virus, but instead it works to facilitate the entry of the virus into target cells, so that you end up having this enhancement. And so by having a little bit of antibody, is actually worse than having no antibody, because the little bit of antibody doesn't work against the new version of the virus, but it does help the new version of the virus get into the cells. And so that's another mechanism as far as having a worse outcome in the fall. And then on top of that, there's this, the idea that it ends up targeting the heart, and people end up, and they seem to be getting better, then all of a sudden it is the heart, and they die within 24 hours. And you get these sudden deaths. And you get the pictures that you saw in China.
We're going to see those here before this is over.
Toppling over.
Yeah, like a dead tree trunk, falling a tree.
Right, right.
We got
right.
A couple of quick things here. Oregon has only 130 tests left as of tonight. That's it. 130 tests remaining as of Monday night. The Oregon State Laboratory. That's the kind of support they're getting from the federal government and the White House. Understand that. So they're going to be out of tests by Wednesday. And the government hasn't produced hundreds of thousands of kits or tests. Nothing. The Corona Princess, by the way, otherwise known as the Diamond Princess, has been sailed across the Pacific and has docked at one of the major piers in Seattle. The Corona Princess is back in Seattle, Washington.
Yeah, well, the apparently, they're upset because Washington said, don't go on cruises, period. And so the industry is upset that they're you know, unfairly targeting their industry, but unfortunately that their industry unfairly targeted the world, essentially, because that's what's showing up in the U.S. I mean, these cases I found that came from the first leg of the Grand Princess. A lot of these were the first cases in those states. I mean, Hawaii's first case came from that, and Minnesota, and I think Tennessee, and I think Utah. They all were reporting their first case, and they all were people that had been passengers on the first leg of the Grand Princess. And those were all just kind of released. Everybody was let go, and I said, well,
they just turned them loose.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Turned them loose.
Yeah.
Here's another one for you, Henry. I'll put this up later. I'll send it to you. There's somebody made a picture of a man playing a violin and put Trump's head there like he's playing the violin. And the text says, my next piece is called Nothing Can Stop What's Coming. That's the caption under this picture of what looks like Trump playing the violin. But it's not Trump, of course. What do they call them? A meme. And Trump didn't get it. He thought it was funny. He didn't understand what the joke was. In other words, he doesn't know who Nero was, and he doesn't have any idea about history. He retweeted the photo of himself fiddling, saying he doesn't know what this means. He said that.
Yeah.
He says, Trump wrote with the picture, who knows what this means? But it sounds good to me. That's a quote.
It's got his picture, so you might as well tweet it out. Right?
It doesn't matter what
it means, as long as it's his picture.
You got it, Henry. You got it. As long as it's him. It's all about Trump. Always has been. Boy, were we taken for a ride in this country. Thank you, my friend. I'll talk to you tomorrow night. We'll keep on top of it. Thanks for everything you've done.
Okay. Sounds good. Talk to you tomorrow. Take care.
Good night, Henry. Okay, that's it for tonight. Look, we may be watching the end of the Trump presidency unfolding right before our eyes now. If he is not held accountable for this, I guess the country deserves what it gets. I'll put this picture of him up with his own stupid, dumb comment. He doesn't know who Nero was. Okay, we'll be back tomorrow. Take care, prepare, and be safe.
You're listening to the Rents Radio Network, nationwide and worldwide on the net and at rents.com.